Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. It's been a really, 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 really busy week in national and regional politics. Congress failed to prevent the government from shutting down. Democratic leaders like Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker are sounding the alarm about President Donald Trump sending troops to American cities. And closer to home, former Congresswoman Cori Bush is headed for a rematch next year against her successor, Congressman Wesley Bell. But some St. Louis area residents are still reeling from an hour-long press conference Trump conducted last week.
Today, we're delighted to be joined by America's top medical and public health professionals as we announce historic steps to confront the crisis of autism. Horrible, horrible crisis.
When he spoke to reporters at the White House on September 22nd, Trump and members of his administration promoted a highly disputed link between taking Tylenol during pregnancy and autism. Despite having no medical training, Trump extolled women to, quote, tough it out without Tylenol, except in the cases of emergencies. But what caught the attention of autistic St. Louis residents and parents of neurodivergent kids, like myself, was how Trump framed the neurological disorder as a tragic affliction that ruins lives and dashes dreams.
The meteoric rise in autism is among the most alarming public health developments in history. There's never been anything like this.
There are two things striking about that statement. Trump, as well as Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., continue to highlight the increase in autism diagnoses without important context. That is, the criteria for diagnosing autism has changed, and more parents are screening their children than in decades past. Trump alleging that autism is, quote, a horrible, horrible crisis, made people I spoke with think the president was implicitly saying that the very existence of autistic people is a crisis or problem that needs to be solved. And that's not sitting well with autistic people or millions of families with autistic children.
My children did not ruin my family. And, you know, we are better parents because of my children.
That's Afton resident Stacy Hill. She's a retired teacher and mother of three autistic children. Two have higher needs and have trouble communicating. They also can't be left alone. Like others I talk to, Hill doesn't whitewash or glamorize autism's challenges. Lower needs autistic people who can live or work independently may struggle completing normal tasks, like going to the grocery store or driving. And autistic people with higher needs often need in-home aids. But Hill added that Trump's push to link Tylenol with autism is part of an old trope where people blame mothers who give birth to autistic children. That's what happened decades ago when some doctors pushed the now discredited theory that autism appeared in kids whose mothers were cold or uncaring toward them.
I mean, even more with just the Tylenol thing, you know, it's, what should you be afraid of? You know, oh, autism is a horrible thing. It destroys families. Boom. People are now afraid of it. And now you have something then for them to blame for it.
St. Louis County resident Lila Novakowski had a fairly similar reaction to the press conference.
I watched a good bit of it, and then I had to take a break.
Yay.
Novakowski has autism and is the parent of autistic children. She's also the owner of We Rock the Spectrum, a Fenton-based business where neurotypical and neurodivergent kids can ride on a zip line, design arts and crafts, and just have a great time. As we talked while sitting cross-legged on We Rock the Spectrum's dark blue gym mat, Novakowski stressed that Trump and Kennedy are not helping the public understand the complexities of autism.
The sad part is that autism, I think because it is so misunderstood, And there's so many different voices in this. It becomes this sort of boogeyman in the closet, it feels sometimes. When in fact, our sensory world is rather quite lovely and beautiful. And the kids that we work with, whether they're verbal or nonverbal, once you actually get to know them, you realize that these are incredible humans navigating a world that was not designed for them.
And while James Turner III was disturbed by the press conference, he wasn't necessarily surprised. Turner is well-versed in state and national politics. He's a legislative aide at the Missouri Capitol and often writes incisive articles about the Show Me State's disorienting political culture.
They're putting out information about autism that is misleading, but also characterizes it as something that's inherently negative to have.
As someone who was diagnosed with autism when he was younger, Turner knows that Trump and Kennedy have sought to link external forces like vaccine use with the disorder, even though medical experts and doctors fiercely push back against that alleged link. Turner fears that people who don't know much about autism will take what Trump and Kennedy say at face value.
It was a big missed opportunity to, you know, where the government could take concrete steps into destigmatizing autism and talking about it in a nuanced fashion, in a way, and start moving society in a way where they can give people a better understanding of what autism actually is.
One of the people who has been following how Trump and Kennedy approach autism for years is Eric Michael Garcia. He's the Washington bureau chief for The Independent, a United Kingdom-based online newspaper, and he's also the author of We're Not Broken, Changing the Autism Conversation. That 2021 book detailed Garcia's journey from being diagnosed with autism and how governments and institutions can make life better for autistic people. Yet even Garcia, who has heard Trump and Kennedy speak many times about autism, was surprised by the tone and the language in this press conference.
And he talks about how, this one woman in his building lost her son, lost her boy. It was all this kind of tragic, apocalyptic language. And it was surprising. And it was shocking to hear that from the president of the United States.
Not only have Trump and members of his administration not detailed steps on how to better integrate autistic people into society, Garcia noted that Trump's administration cut funding to programs that could further that goal.
The Trump administration has basically hollowed out the Administration for Community Living, which is a bureaucracy that focuses specifically on people with disabilities and elderly people staying in their communities instead of institutional care settings. And the ultimate irony is that when I talked with officials who were leaving the administration for community living, they said that during the first Trump administration, they leaned heavily on the ACL for protocols for COVID-19 for community living and how to make sure that people with disabilities and elderly people weren't infected. So this is something that the Trump administration knows is an effective body, but they've just completely zeroed out or hollowed out.
While autistic people and their allies were not happy with Trump's press conference, their anger and disappointment and fear is not stopping them from trying to reorient a world stacked against autistic people. That may come off as an impossibly ambitious platitude, but some people point out practical and low-cost ideas. For instance, Luke Barber is a St. Louis County resident who ran twice for state representative. He's also autistic and made disability rights a major part of his campaigns. Barber says that businesses could try to accommodate autistic people by dimming their lights or not playing loud music. That, he said, could make it easier to complete essential tasks like shopping for groceries.
The aisles aren't big enough in the grocery store, or the super bright lights that are almost blinding kind of level brightness. I also suffer from migraine symptoms. the super bright lights is enough to almost cause me to have a drop attack.
Becca and Mike Vitale live in Sunset Hills. They're the parents of a four-year-old who is nonverbal, but is able to communicate with the assistance of a special communications device. Becca Vitale says that one thing that governmental and civic leaders could do is normalize how people need what's known as AAC devices to communicate.
I guess what I'm saying is, of course, it's challenging. It's not like every day's roses, but it's just the reality of the world and living in a neurodiverse world full of different kinds of people. So instead of focusing on what the issues are, we should instead focus on how we can be more accepting and accommodating to people that operate and communicate in a different way other than ours.
Matt Vitale says that political leaders such as Trump also need to be cognizant about how they characterize and describe autistic people. He says that the tone of the press conference was so unserious that it may have caused even well-meaning critics of the president to go on the wrong track.
You know, I want autism to be in the spotlight, but not the way it is. You know, now people are making memes about being a Tylenol American and all these different kinds of things. And, you know, I don't think people are intending to be hurtful. I think they're kind of intending to push back, right, on Trump and on the narrative. But I don't think there's a realization that, you know, there's actually families that this is impacting. And I think that's what's the most disappointing thing.
The one lingering question from Trump's press conference is whether it's just a blip on the radar or inflicts long-term damage. Garcia, the author of We're Not Broken, Changing the Autism Conversation, worries about the people who are not as attuned to the nuances of autism.
People hear what the president has to say, even if they may not necessarily have voted for President Trump. They are going to take what he says at face value, because you should be able to listen to what the government says and give accurate and to expect it, that it will disseminate accurate information. You should be able to rely on that. And I worry that it's going to lead to a lot of people fearing autism instead of focusing on, okay, what are the best ways we can support autistic people?
Back on the blue mat at We Rock the Spectrum in Fenton, Novakowski says she's trying to take a glass half full approach to the impact of Trump's press conference. She says it may showcase the importance that autistic people find those that can help and protect them.
I think the one thing that I love about owning this space is that you start to realize how important community is for an autistic person. The reality is it's always going to be something. There's always going to be something that comes at you. But if you have community and you have people, whether they're autistic or not, whether they're just friends, whether they work in the space, whether they're teachers, whether whoever they are, however they come into it, they become your protective barrier. And so when things like that come at you, you start to recognize nothing can actually hit you.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.